Yeah.
It wasn't like I had to see what God wanted on an issue or thought about what God wanted. I had complete synergy of mind with him. But what was amazing about it was like how I actually felt within myself. It felt like this is the real us. This is actually, it was almost like it was triggering a memory, a deep memory of what we are. This level of integration with God was so calm. That's the only way to describe it, but full of might. Like it was like governmental shalom, but beautiful, like so powerful.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Live Your Best Life. I am so excited about today's conversation with two of my most favorite people in the world, Dr. Brian Simmons and Justin Abraham. And what the Lord has put in my spirit for today is to really empower you all and bring a shift. He wants us back, all of us, in throne room perspective, seeing as he sees and sitting everything in our lives in the context of divine perspective all over again. So I can't think of any two people on the planet better than to have this conversation with because of their powerful relationship with the authentic relationship that they have with Jesus. And so therefore they live in genuine throne room perspective. So it's my joy to have them with me. So
thank
blessed.
You, Liz.
So blessed.
Pleasure to be with you. Love seeing the two of us, the two of you and three of us together. Amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yes, it's exciting. It's exciting.
Really is, isn't it? Okay, question number one. I thought I would ask you both, maybe starting with you, Brian, to share with us an experience that you've had. I love your God story and I love Justin's God stories. An experience that you've had where Jesus shifted your perspective radically in a transformative way back to seeing as he sees, you know, throne room perspective?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. And I have one that immediately pops into my heart, my mind. And that's when I first was introduced sovereignly to the prophetic as a tribal missionary. And there was nobody out there to disciple me. I wish there would have been a Justin Abraham or a Liz Wright to, you know, take my hand and show me some of the beautiful things of God. But I was praying. It's my custom to spend lots of time in prayer. And I kept seeing blue, sapphire blue, the deepest blue you can ever imagine. And and every time I would, like, fall into this trance, I would snap out of it because I was Baptist and I had no clue what was going on. And then one day, after months of seeing this experience, I said, I'm going to go into the blue. That's what I called it. I'm going to go into the blue. And I was taken, whether I was bodily there or not, but my spirit was there for sure. And I was taken to the Sea of Glass. And I was on this blue crystal pavement that just extended as far as you could imagine. And I was praying there. I continued to pray. I was on my knees and I was just praying. And then all of a sudden, I heard a voice praying the same thing I prayed, like an echo, like just real suddenly right after my words, their words. And I sensed this person, whoever's praying this, was right next to me. So I turned and I looked, and it was Jesus, and he was on the Sea of Glass with me. And he said something that changed my life. He asked me a question that has totally changed my life forevermore. He said, would you be my prayer partner? Would you be my prayer partner? And I said, yes. And from that moment on, a deeper understanding, or maybe a better word to say, a deeper passion for prayer was birthed inside of me. And You know, and I, when I say prayer, you know, mm-hmm. people have all kinds of logistics and tools and mechanisms for prayer. For me, it's just prayer. It's just intimacy mm-hmm. with God is mm-hmm. prayer. David actually said, I am prayer. Psalm 109, he said, I am prayer. Most translations say a man of prayer, but he didn't say a man of prayer. The Hebrew is simply David prayer. I am prayer is what he said. And that longing to be so close to God in that governmental realm where my prayers are not only heard, but they are echoed by the voice of Jesus. Into the throne room and into the glory realm that reverberates down to the earth. So I hope I'm not taking too long with my answer, but that was the one thing that really set my life on course mm-hmm. with fire to want to become a walking prayer meeting. So the first book I wrote, it was my doctoral thesis. I wrote a book called Prayer Partners with Jesus came out of that and have. Half of the book, at least, is about governmental access and prayer to move the heart of God. Mm. You know, prayer is the muscle that moves the arm of omnipotence. And there are self-imposed limitations God has brought upon himself, waiting for us to partner with him. We are co-signers of the title deed of the universe, which means two signatures are required. And as we echo his heart in prayer, it becomes the two-mouthed sword. Ephesians speaks about a two-mouthed sword. Most translations have a two-edged sword, but it's not edge. It's two-mouthed sword. So the sword that comes from his mouth when it comes through our mouth becomes a two-mouthed sword, and it changes the world.
Wow. Mm. Boom. Let's just sit and meditate on everything you just said for the next day, 24 hours at least. My gosh, that just profound, Brian. So that literally set the direction of your life, hey, and how you live from that place of union as one mind, one heart with him in intercession that is governmental because he is, and you're just flowing as one voice, right? Wow.
If you ever see this deep blue that is tugging your spirit, mm-hmm. go into it, because I resisted it for too long. And now when I experience that, not every day, but when I do experience it, I yield and I go into this trance-like encounter. And it's just, it wrecked my theology and it wrecked my experience. But I love it.
Yeah. Just powerful. Wow. Okay. Justin's like officially wrecked now. Okay, Justin, if you can hear me in heaven. Same question. Life altering.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, it's so beautiful, isn't it? It's like the thing is, it's like every encounter someone tells you is a gateway. You know, if I just focus on your words and the frequency of your heart and the atmosphere around you, that's how simple it is.
Yeah.
Access these realms. And, you know, when I think about that blue, I can feel exactly what you're talking about, the deep calling, the sapphire stones.
Yeah.
You know, and often when I see people in the heavenly realms, they have eyes that are that color. And I know sometimes the Lord reveals them like that because they've looked into his heart, they've looked into the deep of his heart. And it's so beautiful. But yeah, I think you know, as Brian was saying, it's when you're in these states of sweetness and union that a lot of these dimensional realms open up. That's the bit, that's the trigger, really, is enjoying God. So a lot of my experiences with God and the advice I give everyone that emails me is pretty much the same when they say, how can I have these encounters? Is I don't aim for the encounter. I aim for the sweetness. I aim for this beautiful union, simple union, where I'm enjoying God's presence. I'm in him. He's in me. Julian of Norwich called it oneing. The Jews call it devakut, which means binding yourself to the Lord. So, you know, for those who wait on the Lord, those who entwine themselves in the Lord is the right word, isn't it, Brian? Those who entangle themselves, kavah, in the Lord will renew their strength and they'll rise up. So there's something about oneing, as Julian Norwich called it, or simple union, Teresa of Avila called it, where we're enjoying the sweetness. And that's how I started to come into these realms, was I was enjoying God. And it's like, if you're, you know, if you enjoy him, he's most glorified in that. It's like when you're enjoying the chef, when you're enjoying the meal the chef prepares, he takes you into the kitchen and shows you how he made it. So, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So I started with sweetness and praying, same as Brian was. And I fell into this, I know it sounds dramatic, but I actually did fall into a trance as well. Like it just came on me out of the blue. And the next thing I know, I'm in the kind of lightnings and the wheels of God. And there's an actual noise in the room. And to be honest, it frightened me. But that was because it was new. And it's really okay. When you study the mystics, they often, and even in the Bible, they often say, I fell over. I went white as a sheet. I felt sick. Like I was like a dead man. It's okay. Right. Mm-hmm. It's like part of the integration process. So I fell, I actually completely passed out. I woke up to this, the lightnings and the noise. And the Lord said, I'm raising up a generation that will be unstoppable. I'm raising up a generation that will be unstoppable. And I saw in that moment when he spoke that they would be immersed in Holy Spirit, led by Holy Spirit, in love with Holy Spirit, and that we've never seen anything quite like them before. So a lot of my experience come like that in waves. So it's very difficult to say which experience is the one that was catalytic, because his mercies are new every morning. Mm. And then over time, it became a reality rather than an encounter. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's where you're in an expanded consciousness, where it's like you're in the cloud, but you're here because it's all in you. And it becomes like this beautiful expansion. So that's where I've been in for many years now, is the kind of beautiful expansion. And then when I meditate, sometimes it'll open up this way or that way. It's the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Mm. So that's the thing. We mustn't think with throne room that it's a distant thing. We're already in it, and it's all around.
Yes.
And it's multidimensional. It's basically consciousness. Are you conscious of your oneness? And that's been the key for me.
I love that, Justin. So powerful. That is the truth, isn't it? We're becoming more and more consciously aware of where we already are. Whoo, holy. Whoo, holy. We're already in him. We live and move and have our being in him. And that's learning to live from the bliss of union, becoming, moving from him, seeing, moving out towards the circumstances of the earth. From him, with his mind, one with his heart, enveloped in his nature, infused with his being. And it's I think we're in the most extraordinary time, because he really is awakening us to be aware and connected all the time, not moving in and out of conscious awareness. And it's a different life, isn't it? It's new creation living.
Yeah. I think it's the difference between this is how the Lord communicated it to me. You know, when you're engaged to someone, you see them and you leave, but you're really deeply connected. It's loving. But then when you're married, marriage bliss is your everything's together. Mm. And that's where the Lord wants to move us away from engagement separation into mystical marriage, where every day you're breathing his life. Every day you're with him. Every meal you're with him. Every walk when you're in the car. And that's what Enoch had. He says Enoch walked with God. And that idea walk means a continual conversation, a continual enfoldment in sweetness. Habitually, one translation says, habitually enjoying intimacy. So it's a habitual intimacy with Yahweh. And then he could show you anything he wants at any time. And you begin to function with government, because it's the government of love and it's the government of union. And it rests on you in a very natural way. I'm a kind of natural mystic. I think it's a very natural science.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Just, wonderful. Okay. I wanted to ask you both, so maybe back to you again, Brian, to give people hope, really, to give people hope and to help us all shift into a place of divine perspective again regarding life right now. Like, what is Jesus showing you at the moment?
Well, it is finished. You know, he has done, he has made everything available to us. Coming back to that co-heir or co-signer to the title deed of the universe, we have the same authority in that realm that he has. Now, that I know is like going to stretch some people. But when we understand that we're not up in the heavenly realm, and I use up just to help us understand it's a different realm. We're not there as a spectator. We're not there just to, you know, hanging out in the corner like invisible or nobody knows we're there. We are given a throne. We are at the right hand of God where Jesus is. We're enthroned with him. We're enthroned intercessors. We don't just pray to Jesus. We pray with him. And that's the passion of my heart, is to blend my everything into his everything. Shall become one, and don't let the doctrines of men divide asunder what God has joined together. That place of access, availability. You know, Jesus is easy to please and easy to find. The Old Testament verse that says, while he may be found, you know, seek me while I may be found, which is so humorous because he can be found all the time, anytime, every time. So we understand that he's easy to find and easy to enjoy and to blend into and to mingle with him. To become a 200% human being where dust and deity mingle and kiss and have joined forever, that we are a replica. We're a duplicate, as it were. He's the first, the pattern son, but we are also daughters and sons that he has brought into glory. And he's glorified when we are glorified, when we walk into that union in that realm. So the hope is vibrant. The hope is powerful. It is alluring. It is something so attractive that when you give in to this and yield your thoughts, your heart, start with your heart. Your thoughts may or may never catch up. Just let your heart, like Velcro, attach to the kingdom realm, the glory of Jesus, to the throne room where he has unfolded his glory as a robe that fills that temple. And as we come into that place of beautiful union that Justin so wonderfully described and focused on, then our hopes are fulfilled. A tree of life is a longing fulfilled. And when our longings are fulfilled, we become who we have been designed to become, which is a lookalike of Jesus, a perfect match for the Son of God, fit for a king, glorified. You know, those whom he justified, he also glorified. And that's all past tense, as we all know. So we have already been glorified. When we set our hope on the glorification of the bride, then we will not be disappointed, and we will reach into the heart of God for the next phase of this, if I could use the word evolution of our soul into becoming one with God. It's a hope that burns bright. It's a living hope, Peter describes it. It's a heavenly hope. It is eternal hope, Paul describes it. So there is such a vibrancy and a vitality about the torch of hope that we hold out as we come before God, that our union will be complete, that we are the New Jerusalem. We don't go there. We are the New Jerusalem. We've already become one with God. We're commingled into his heart. And we share the same space in that throne room together. So, I'm getting excited.
That is throne room perspective regarding who we are and our future, right? I mean, that's who we are. This is our life now in him. And I love it. One of the phrases that you use, I've been so inspired by, and I've pinched your phraseology many times, as you know. I love your language, is being transfigured by faith. Literally being transfigured by faith, just trusting him, like that great unveiling of who we actually are in him as we're awakening now. We're going from glory to glory to glory. Our hope, our life is so full of hope, isn't it? Our future is brilliant and bright, and we are the co-signers of the universe. Oh my gosh, boom, meditate on that. Wow.
Whoa.
Filled with God and co-reigning with Christ. That's the future. Oh, holy. Okay. Justin, what are you seeing in your powerful relationship right now with Jesus?
You guys know this. It's always multifaceted, isn't it?
Totally.
It's not a linear conversation when you're in union, because it's like he'll talk to you about a person, he'll talk to you about an event, he'll talk to you about the future, he'll talk to you about the heavenly realms, the cosmos. He might talk to you about practical stuff like looking after yourself. It's like a continual oneing with God where you're in the flow. I mean, in terms of my dreams this week, the last couple of weeks, I had an amazing dream this week yesterday, and I'm still trying to get my head around it because it just blew my mind. In this dream, I can't even get the language to explain this, okay? I'm going to try. I was dreaming about myself, but it was symbolic of any one of us. I was like, in this dream, I was in complete integration with God. That's the only way to describe it. It wasn't like union, which we're aware and aware, where we're flitting in and out like we do, with where we go in deep and shallow, deep and shallow. It was like a complete integration where there was this stillness that had like almost might on it. Absolute stillness. And my voice carried his voice, but it was like oneness of thought. Yeah. It wasn't like I had to see what God wanted on an issue or thought about what God wanted. I had complete synergy of mind with him. But what was amazing about it was like how I actually felt within myself. It felt like this is the real us. This is actually, it was almost like it was triggering a memory, a deep memory of what we are. But this level of integration with God was so calm. That's the only way to describe it, but full of might. Like it was like governmental shalom, but beautiful, like so powerful. I couldn't find language for it. I had that dream yesterday. And then the week before that, I dreamt about the Father, and the Father came towards me and he just embraced me, and we began to interchange particles whilst almost elevating and spiraling out into particles. And I didn't lose my uniqueness, but it was the strongest bonding I've ever felt. You know, it was beyond, it was like the convergence of matter, mind, being, and essence through love. And it's like he held me, and it's like I leaned into him, and then we became this beautiful vortex of union, but I didn't lose myself in it. I was still me and God was still God, but we were intrinsically dancing together in the perichoresis, the circular dance of ecstasy. And the thing that I got out of it was amazing. I was reading his thoughts, and the thought that he shared with me was, wow, how he wants us to be one as a family. And I felt the pain of his heart for the division that's in his children, that's in the body, over trivialities, you know, doctrines, preferences, styles, all these things. And I felt the deep longing of his heart that we might be one, to fulfill John 17, that I'm in you, you're in me, they're in us, we're in each other. And it says, then the world will know that you've loved me and sent me. Oneness is the definition of the new creation. And oneness has to come. And that means letting go of our preferences. And it sees the deeper reality that we are one. We are one, that separation is an illusion, a lie. But to end on how I felt about this was just, I believe there are realms opening up for us of union with God. They're going to stagger our mind, of a depth of love and integrate full integration with the divine nature. It's like, I don't know how the Lord's going to do it, because with these two dreams that have happened this week and last week, my question is, Lord, how do I become the person in that dream that's fully integrated it with you? So the thing I've decided today is I'm going to do some just meditation over the next period of time on oneness. I'm in him, he's in me, I'm in you, you're in me, and just go deeper into that. Maybe spend protracted meditations, engage in that, because I feel like beyond there is the fullness. It's like, that was the thing with the dream actually yesterday. When I was fully integrated, I would describe it as the fullness of God. You know, in Ephesians, it says, in Christ, you've been given fullness. Mm. When I was a little boy, I loved that verse. I used to get like tingles thinking about it. What I saw in my dream was, it was the fullness of God in us. And we've never seen that before. I think something wonderful's come in. The full integration of our nature with his. It's already happened, but I mean the manifestation, the revealing of the mature sons of God. You know, it says adoption, but it means maturity, doesn't it? We come to the mature, to coming up to the fullness of the stature of Christ, he said. So that gets me excited, because I can't think of anything more than that, than God, you know, than God himself, yeah, and us in that level of oneness where it's not even like you're trying to wonder what God thinks anymore. It's like you're fully embodying the divine nature. I know that sounds far out, but I can prove scripturally that's going to come. Wow. Paul saw it. It's in Ephesians. It's throughout the Bible. The early church fathers saw it. You know, Athanasius, all these people, Augustine, they said, you know, Jesus became man that mankind might become as God, theosis, where we become so one with God that we're almost indistinguishable from God. And that is amazing. God is love. You know, God is light. God is peace. God is joy. It's just going to be just so beautiful. Wow. So I'm kind of blown away by it right now, because I've just had that dream yesterday and I'm like still popping over it. So anyway, back to you, Liz.
Oh, no, Justin, I'm just soaking in what you're saying. Sorry, did you want to say something then, Brian, in response?
Oh, I'm wrecked just hearing. I can imagine what you would have done, but you did well in describing how that the heart of God to draw us into union. Wow.
Yeah. Beautiful. I agree. Yeah. It's interesting, because when you were speaking, it was giving me language for some of what is being, how do I say it rightly? You know, when you're absorbing more of him, he's revealing new depths of understanding to your spirit of himself. Yeah. And I've been in a different way. I've been walking in a similar place. I've been feeling that absolute synchronization of every part of our being with him, that internal alignment where there's no separate thought anymore. Holy, we no longer sit over here in ourselves and think this thought and have this response and opinion, which is separate from his. It's just one mind, one heart, one thought, one expression.
And then you become a mobile throne. You actually become the throne. You are the throne. You're his favorite seat. One translation the Bible says in Isaiah 22, verse 23, I think it is. It says that you might become a glorious throne for the Father, glorious seat. Yeah. And then you become a living oracle like Jesus was, where you're speaking, decreeing, you're calming the storm, because you're operating from an ascended place of union. Consciousness, you have the mind of Christ growing up to the head. You're in the head now. You move beyond just being the body into, you have the mind of God. You have the heart of God. And then the angels respond to it. Creation responds to it. Nature responds to it. You become a manifestation of Christ himself. And that's what Brian was saying earlier. I love it in Colossians, where it says, when he appears, you will appear with him in glory. In Colossians 3, there's a co-glory, a co-appearing, co-throne.
The revealing of the co-throne. Yeah, I love it. I love it. D- Did you want to say anything else then, Brian? I'm gonna ask you guys if you will pray for everybody in a second, just in the few minutes we have left.
I'm just basking in the joyous description of our relationship with God, and what grace, what tenderness, what love that has made it all happen. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
absolutely. All that he is who we are now in this world, hey?
I've said more than once, and it may get me in trouble in some circles, but I have a feeling I can say it here.
You so but can.
Everything, everything you love about Jesus is who you will be. It's your calling to be him, to be a lookalike, to be that perfect match.
Yeah.
That the Father can't tell which one is who.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Can I just share one quick story then? Because this is the very first ascension I ever had, is exactly what Brian was saying there. When Rachel and I were in school of ministry in Toronto in the 90s, I had my first ever rapture. Some of the guys came back from the meeting and they prayed for me. I was in the student place we were living. And waves of glory hit me. And suddenly, after about 40 minutes of these waves, I pop up out of myself and I'm flying over the heavens. And I'm actually in the heavens. This is my first ever rapture, first ever heavenly encounter. And I can see Jesus on the throne and he looks like light, pure, beautiful, amazing light. But everyone that was with him looked exactly the same as him. And I started shouting loudly as I was flying through the air. They all look just like him. They all just look just like him. They all just look like him. And then I came out of this encounter. So that was my first ever encounter, was that as he is, so are we in this world. And when we see him, we'll be like him, for we will see him as he is. God doesn't want to be God apart from us. He wants to be, that's, whoa.
No, I know. Oh, I know. But who are we? Whoa! Okay, we have a couple of minutes left. Could I ask you both, would you pray? Brian, would you like to go first? Just to pray for the precious, beautiful bride that all around the world that's watching and needs more of him.
Thank you so much, Liz, for including me and to meet you here online. Justin, it's a very wonderful treat for me. Father, I thank you so much for this avalanche of love that's falling over the bride of Christ, changing us, rewiring us, moving us into your heart, blending us into the Trinity, into the triune glory, moving us, Father, from one level of glory to another. We thank you, Lord. I ask for that avalanche to keep rolling down the mountain of the Lord upon our souls until we understand and our spirit has said yes to you and everything, and we become that perfect match, that bride to die for, that you gave your life for. You gave sacred blood for us, and we thank you, Lord. Let a love revival be released even on this this call here today, in Jesus' name.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, Papa. We love you so much. Lord, we are honored. We are so honored to be here together. Thank you for Brian and Liz and everyone watching. We love you. Lord, I pray for a love tsunami, a love wave to hit everyone.
Right now.
Lord, make them a target for your love and just go for it. Father, go for it. Just pour out your love, your amazing, astonishing love on everyone. We're made perfect in love. All we need is love.
Yeah.
And love will elevate us. Love will expand us. Love will lead us. So, Father, thank you that we are loved. We love because you loved us.
Yeah.
Thank you, Papa.
Thank you. I saw a tsunami of the presence of God and of his love moving out yesterday. So we agree, a fresh immersion, and that who you are in Christ will explode. Who you are as a spirit being right now, a life-giving spirit, will absolutely explode out of the center of who you are. You and Jesus as one, the divine nature within you on display.
Hey.
Divinity revealed through humanity.
Come on, Liz.
Amen.
Come on, Liz.
Amen. And guys, we are going to be together, speaking together live at the Throne in Winchester in England. It's coming up soon. So if you can join us, it's going to be a seriously holy time. So come and join us if you can, either online or in person, preferably. Just jump onto lizwright.org and grab a ticket if you haven't got one already.
It's going to be good. I think we had early helpings of the Throne event just now.
We just did.
Very delicious.
More of
first portions. We had a little morsel of what's the feast that's to come. So come and feast with us, everyone. It's going to be good. And Laura C's going to be there.
She is.
Laura C's first time, I think, in the UK. She is a wonderful, wonderful ascension worshiper. She just creates an atmosphere where it's so natural to ascend.
Wow.
And I'm so excited that you've got her over, Liz. Thank you.
Yeah, I really felt it from Holy Spirit, like bring her into the UK, because we just love who she is. Love her.
Yeah.
So, guys, thank you so much. Thank you so much your walk with Jesus and your vulnerability and your willingness to just share and being with me today. Love and honor both of you.
Thank you.
And guys, thank you for joining us too. God bless everybody. Have the most amazing week. Bless you, Brian. Bless you, Justin. Bless you, guys. We love you. See you next week.
Wonderful. Beautiful time, everyone. That was good.
Our lives in perfectly synchronized union. One sound, one heartbeat, one flow of revelation, one breath.